In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. As I spoke to you last week, the Jews knew God the Father, and the Jews knew the Spirit of God. It was by the Spirit of God that the prophets prophesied. They knew both, but they did not know there was a Son. They did not know there was a Son. And so Jesus very selectively, very gently, begins to reveal himself to them. Now, in the previous chapter, they want to stone him because he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And that "I am" is how God identified himself in Genesis. "I am that I am." Right? To Moses. Remember? So this is a very, very, very important thing, that as he begins to reveal himself, he does so not further with words, because words tend to incite. Now, it's funny about words. The Jews never saw any of the prophets. In the day of Jesus, all the prophets are dead. So they believed by their ears. Jesus came and he's doing things, making miracles in their presence, and by sight they don't believe. What they never saw, they believed, and what they saw, they disbelieved. What kind of people are these? It's when you bring forth more of your own predilection, when you bring forth your own prejudices, that you are blind. You are blinded. And this is the point about the man who was born blind. Because until we see the truth and recognize it as the truth and raise our hands and say, "It is," as I do at the altar, as all priests do, "I confess to the very last breath. I confess to the very last breath that this is the truth." Until you do that, you're blind. If you cannot see, all right. But it's different when you will not see. This man had a physical impediment, and Jesus removed that from him. But most of the impediments in life are spiritual or intellectual. Some are emotional. Although emotion you cannot sustain over a long period of time. You can reinvest in emotion, but you can't sustain emotion. Try crying for 3 days. There was one story. Where'd Anton go? Oh, you remember the story about Schumann? Schumann, when he died? When Schumann died, the composer, I'm just saying that because he knows music, you don't. Schumann died, his wife cried herself to death. Literally. She didn't leave her bed, she cried herself to death. So I bring that up because if somebody knows Schumann, then they know the story about Schumann. And I say, but wait a minute, you said Abuna, he couldn't sustain this. Well, the wife of Schumann did. You know, every once in a while, I'm interrupted by a child. And it's always funny to me, the sounds that they make. During the raising of incense, it was Gabriella. Apparently now, it's Justice's turn. And then, of course, Alexei is a chatterbox. He never stops. He's like the parrot that just keeps on talking. But it's funny, the sounds that they make. You know, that's the amazing thing. Anyway, the Lord fixed the blind. Now, he's not the same as the one who called out, "Son of David," and the Lord said, "What is it that I could do for you that I might see?" That man called out to Jesus. He called out to him to cure me. This man did not. This man Jesus saw. He saw him in his interior. He saw his interior. And he went to him. I'll just wait. It's less disturbing when I'm praying as when I am reading or trying to provide an explication of Scripture. This man he saw, and he saw his interior. And if we go to the fullness of the narrative, we will see all of the characteristics of this man. He was entirely humble. You know, somebody says to you, do this, do that. Inside yourself, you ask, well, why? Have you ever been to a doctor's office and say, well, we're going to try this? And you're thinking to yourself, does this person know what they're... Let me see that medical... what school did you graduate from? The Bahamas? We always question. We're taught to question. But there's times when the yearning of the soul has so softened the ego that humility is the outpouring essence of the individual. But the ego has to be conquered first. You get this when you're on your bed of pain. When you are really in pain, you'll say, do anything to me. And again, I'm not talking just about physical pain, but when you are really in pain, solve this problem for me. I need this solved. This is that kind of humility that is broken down in this man, and Jesus sees it from a great distance. He is humble. He is willing to obey. And obedience in the world is rare. You have to prove yourself first to the person that would be obedient to you. It's not simply just that they are offering something to you. No, they have to offer it in a certain way, or you will refuse it out of hand because of who is doing the offering. This man did not know who Jesus was. There is nothing in here that said that he knew his name. As a matter of fact, it's funny. You know how when people in the Middle East want to insult others, they use the word dogs? It's actually used here. He was surrounded by dogs. That's it. That's in the original language. They put men. Because it was you know, really men, but he meant that he was being attacked by dogs. Because at first, the Sadducees were around him, and then they called the Pharisees, and the interrogation takes a really nasty turn when he simply stands up for those things that he surely has received. He said, he put clay on my eyes. Now, first of all, ask yourself this. Did Jesus Christ have to put clay on his eyes? Not at all. Did he have to mix it with his own saliva? Not at all. Why did he do this? It's like the first creation of Adam. He is showing when he says, before Abraham was, I am, and they just went berserk and wanted to stone him to death. He's saying, now watch. Watch with your eyes. Don't listen with your ears. Watch with your eyes. A man is going to create that which was absent in this human by virtue of some clay from the earth out of which we were all taken. And they don't. They don't acquiesce. So the man, he doesn't know who Jesus is. They ask him, who is he? And he says, oh, he's a prophet. Now, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to have preconceived notions that prevent you from the truth. It's a terrible thing for you to have built up walls for the Lord to have to break down, because he's not going to do it. These are things that you must do. This is called theandric synergy. This means man cooperating with God synergistically. Sin means with, ergos means work. So you're in like work with your own salvation, and you are breaking down the things that prevent God from entering. You can empty yourself of all of the other junk that is inside you, all of the things that you think knowing that are valuable, and start putting inside you the things of God. If you will. If you will. But the Jews refused repeatedly and repeatedly. How did he open your eyes? I told you already and you did not believe. You know, they are depending upon the legacy that they had received being the sons of the promise. And the fulfillment of the promise was standing before them and their eyes. Who is blind? Who is blind? How many of us let some kind of blindness interfere with our acceptance of the truth? To see over and over and over the things that must be changed and then just turn your head from them, because it will mean that it has to then create an action on your part that you have long put off or postponed. We are Moses' disciples. God says in another place, if you were Moses' disciple, you would know me because Moses spoke of me. Remember the Fotini at the well, the Samaritan, and the Samaritans only take the five books, the Pentateuch, for their scripture. They don't take any of the words of the prophets, just the five books. They were hated by the Jews. But even in the five books of Moses, you have the truth about Christ. What did Fotini say when she met Jesus? We know that the Messiah is coming. From what? From what? Not from Isaiah. Isaiah goes point by point by point exactly what he's going to look like, where he's going to be from, what he's going to do. It's an amazing thing. And many of the prophets are this way. But I tell you, isn't it strange that people will not use their eyes? They will not see what is before them. They will find some other reason to satisfy them when they look with this hypercritical glare, saying, this can't be. This can't be. I am willing to cooperate with God if first God will cooperate with me. That's a sure way to go to hell. God sets the path for everyone to walk. And then you decide, am I willing to go with God? What do they say? What do they say in Spanish? Vaya con Dios. Go with God. Go with God. That's the only way you can. You'll get lost. Now this man wants... He was nothing but a beggar. He was nothing but a beggar. And now he is standing before the most powerful, the most influential people of his day. And he starts to treat them with the type of respect that they are deserving, which is what? Why are you asking me again these same questions? I'm not going to tell you anything differently. Do you want to be his disciple? That was such an insult to them. But do you see the character of this person? Jesus revealed himself to him. He gave him the thing that he had yet not asked for. And he was a changed person, not in the sense that his character changed, but in his approach to life itself. He didn't know what was going to happen speaking to those people the way that he spoke to them. He might have well have been cast into prison. Something terrible may have occurred to him. And he had just newly regained his sight. But, and if you consider what a gift that is, not just to see God, but just for the first time in your life to have something that you have perhaps longed for, to hear voices all your life, to recognize those voices, to recognize the type of energy that comes out of that voice and the type of job that perhaps you relate to that voice or the location of that voice, and now you can hear those voices and pinpoint every single person with your eyes. He's given this fantastic gift. And then what? When Jesus found that they had cast him out, he came to him and he said, "Do you believe?" "Of course I believe. I've always longed to believe. I've always desired." Because when you are downtrodden, when you are low, the thing that you are looking for is a savior. Some people, they will put it in different terms. They'll say, "I'm looking for a solution." Well, that solution is the savior. Whether or not it is amplified in any other way, you are looking for something to relieve you of the misery because you know for certain that you cannot do it yourself. And he was lifted up and worshiped. And the Lord said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? Or do you believe in the Son of God?" Same way. It's Son of Man, Son of God. Same meaning. Do you believe? Who is he, Lord? Who is he, Lord, that I may believe? And Jesus says clearly, "It is me that you're speaking to. I am he." What a revelation. And what was the man's immediate response? He worshiped him. Think about that. That should be our response at all times. You come to the table of the Lord to commune. You take his body and his blood. Worship and praise should be on your tongue. Worship and praise. Because it is the only thing that is going to alleviate your situation. As I said to you before, and this is not something that I made up, I heard it somewhere, I don't remember where, God did not come to make bad people good. God did not come to make bad people good. God came to make dead people alive. He gives you life, and life everlasting. And all you must do is to have and to maintain this relationship with him. You hold him close in your heart. You are reminded through confession of your own failings. And you act on them by asking for repentance and reconciliation. Because the most important thing in the whole world for you is to not offend him. When we sin, sometimes the sin that we sin is against one another. It's really not. It's really not. When we sin, we are actually sinning against one, and that is God. We are sinning against him. It just is the interaction of my heart that is wrong, and therefore out of that wrong heart precedes a wrong action, but it is really because I am not having a satisfactory relationship with God at the time that this sin is committed. You can't say that you are praising God when you take a drink. Glory be to God. No, You can't do that. You can't do that when you are cheating someone. You can't do that when you're hurting another. You cannot do that. You don't. Glory to God, and these two things are inimitable. So, I close with blindness and sight. Remember, we talked about different types of sight when we talked about who is a beholder of God, who really sees who Jesus is. And we call St. Mark P-theo-remos, P-theo-remos en evangelistis. P-theo-remos, the P-theo-God, remos, the beholder, to see the essence as it is expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. Not the full essence, because the flesh always gets in the way to a certain extent, but generally speaking, the essence of God. We thank the Lord in so much as any of us can see. I'm hoping in the next few months to have a cataract operation. Maybe I will see more clearly after that happens. But for all of you, I hope that you are perspicacious. You can look that up in the dictionary. Glory be to God forever. Amen.